BBC Playhouse presents A Play for Radio by William Barrow. End of term.
Hello?
Hello, is that you, Headmaster?
No, Mr. Brackley isn't here.
Oh, that is Clevedon School, isn't it?
Yes.
Oh, well, I wonder... Oh, never mind.
Oh, is that Muir speaking, Dr. Muir?
Yes.
Oh, this is North here.
Oh, hello, Mr. North.
I expect the headmaster's secretary put you through here. I'm expecting him any moment. Can I give him a message?
Well, no, I... perhaps I'd better wait and...
Actually, I wanted to speak to you myself, Doctor.
Yes?
I suppose you haven't heard anything yet. About me, I mean.
Well,
Have you?
I wanted to speak to the head.
To the head? But why?
Well, he's known you for many years. You've been very great friends.
I have known the head for many years, though I should hesitate to claim him as a great friend.
Oh, you're far too modest, Mr. North. He regards you as...
Doctor, this is a matter of far greater importance. Have you heard?
Well, as a matter of fact, I have.
Then what? Am I...
Nothing official yet, of course. They always send a report in writing later. But they phoned me from the pathological laboratory not 10 minutes ago.
And what did they say?
Well, that's why I wanted to speak to the head. I mean, with him being such an old friend of yours...
Dr. Muir, are you trying to break something gently to me? How bad am I?
Look here, we'd better wait until I know officially.
You know now. I think I do, too. I'd much rather be told outright when it's a matter of life or death. It is that literally, isn't it? Life or death? Well? Which?
Oh, well, it's always a matter of death in the end. We've all got to come to it sooner or later.
And for me, which is it? Sooner?
It's sooner than I feared. I'm sorry, North.
How soon?
Oh, well, we can't always...
How soon?
It generally takes 3 to 6 months.
3 to 6 months? It seems so silly. I don't feel particularly unwell. Yet, if it wasn't for this little pain occasionally, I didn't think death crept in so unostentatiously.
There's no need to let your mind dwell on it.
There's every need, Doctor. I must try to get used to the idea.
I hope I've done the right thing, North. I wanted to have a word with the head first.
I much prefer it like this. Thank you for telling me.
I shall be coming round to see you tomorrow. But if in the meantime there's anything I can do for you...
No, there's nothing you can do for me. Good night, Muir.
Good night.
3 to 6 months. But probably I won't know much about it. I'll be doped for the pain. I must get Muir to promise about that. But why has it to be me? I'm only 60. I wonder if it'll sap my brains as it will my body. It's not that I fear death, but this is 6 months' agonizing preliminary. I wish I could go now, tonight, quickly as I sit here. How was it Blunden put it? To leave this treasured room some bell-like evening... when the May's in bloom. But how? Of course. Here in my desk. In my hand. Perhaps it was Providence that led young Jennings to take this from the armory. Cartridges, too. I suppose this is how it's loaded. Yes. Easy. Well. Oh, someone at the door. Put it back in the desk. That's right. Think about it later. Yes, later.
Oh, you are in, North. May we come in? The chaplain's here, too.
I hope we're not interrupting anything, North.
Oh, nothing that I'm not glad to put on one side for a bit, Palfrey. Do sit down, Headmaster.
No, thank you.
Here, take this chair, Palfrey.
Thank you.
Well, what can I do for you?
Well, I don't know the chaplain's business, but mine won't take very long. At least, I hope not. You know, we all ought to be out of doors tonight. It really is a lovely evening, isn't it?
Yes, all green and gold. I've always loved the view of the playing fields from this window.
Isn't that Hopkins Major over there at the Nets?
Yes. He's practicing very hard just now, isn't he?
Yes.
I think he'll get his blue all right when he goes up.
I'm not so sure.
I am, North. You'll see Hopkins playing in the varsity match next year.
I don't think I shall.
Oh, but you will. You mark my words. I'm no mean judge of a cricketer.
I wish his divinity was as good as his batting.
Ah, now that's one of the things I wanted to talk about.
I say, North, forgive me asking, but are you feeling all right?
Why?
You look pale.
No, he was always pale, weren't you, old man? North's all right, Palfrey. Still, I should take things easy for the rest of the term, North. Remember, you're retiring in 3 weeks' time. There's no point in killing yourself now.
No point at all.
Well, now, getting down to business. The Divinity Prize essay for Schoolhouse. It's time we settled what the subject is to be this year, North.
Oh, I always leave that matter to Palfrey.
Yes, it's one I've already decided.
Oh, really?
Yes, I've chosen a subject that to kill even in war is to murder.
Well, I certainly don't like that, Palfrey.
Oh? I'm sorry, sir. Why not?
Well, people might start saying that Clevedon is pacifist. But why pursue it? I don't like it. Don't like it at all. No, we'll have something else, something more straightforward. Now, let me see. Yes, I've got it. The influence of the English Sunday. That's a better subject.
It's the second time we've had it in 4 years.
Never mind.
Oh, I'm beginning not to mind.
Well, now, the other matters I wish to raise with North are private. And so unless your business with him is confidential also, Palfrey...
Oh, no, not at all.
Then perhaps you'd care to deal with it now, and then North and I...
Certainly. Well, North, actually I'm here in my capacity as Secretary to Common Room. The staff felt that they would like you to accept something from them as a retiring present.
But surely the staff are participating in the school scheme.
Oh, yes, of course. But this is something distinct from the foundation of the North Scholarship. They would like North to have something more personal, a direct reminder from them.
Well, that's very gratifying indeed. Although I should have thought...
What do you think, North?
I don't know what to think. It's rather a surprise.
We just want you to have something that will remind you of us.
I shan't forget you. I shan't ever. No, but I suddenly realize that I'd like there to be something personal that would remind you all of me. Just now and again, something that... Yes, I know.
Good. What?
When I first came here, the greensward all round the school chapel was studded with daffodils every spring. A lovely sight it was.
So I've heard. Well, long before I came here, of course.
Oh, I remember it quite well. Unfortunately, they died off during that spring. I had to have the ivy dug out. It was injuring the stonework.
Well, sir, if you'd had the work done in spring just when the bulbs were... However, go on, North.
Well, would you put daffodil bulbs in the greensward again as a gift to me? I should appreciate it.
Ah, you wouldn't be the only one to appreciate it, either now or in years to come. Certainly I, as school chaplain, welcome the idea.
It's very sheltered by the porch, too. Possibly a few might bloom in time for the end-of-term service each Easter. And if you wouldn't mind putting some on the altar.
But, of course. Well, it's not the sort of thing that the staff had in mind, but I'm sure when I tell them that it's what you... Oh, well, that's settled.
Yes, so it seems.
And if you don't mind, I'll be getting along now.
Yes. Oh, by the way, when you are discussing this in common room, you can assure the staff that the scheme has the headmaster's approval and sanction.
I'm sure they will be glad it has your approval, headmaster, but any necessary sanction will come from me.
Indeed.
May I remind you, sir, that whilst I am school chaplain here, the school chapel and its precincts fall solely within my jurisdiction.
Mr. Palfrey, that is a matter which we have discussed more than once, and unless we can come to some compromise...
I'm sorry, but as I've said before, it is not one in which I am able to compromise. I have no choice but to insist on my rights.
Mr. Palfrey, you might have that right. I'm not sure on the point. But in any case, it is not always diplomatic to insist on your rights.
I'm not a diplomat, sir. Primarily, I'm a clergyman. Well, if you'll excuse me,
Look here, Palfrey. Perhaps something else. A presentation.
Thank you, sir. Good night, North.
I hope I'm not going to be the cause of any ill will between Mr. Palfrey and you.
I shan't countenance any ill will that is made too obvious, you may be sure. Well, now, what I wish to discuss with you is the question of your successor as housemaster.
Frankly, I should have thought the choice automatic.
Oh, really? On whom?
On Frottingham. He's been my senior house tutor for 7 years. He's also a first-class classical master.
Frottingham's a sound man, I quite agree, but a little colourless, don't you think?
Do you consider that house masters should be colourful?
Really, North, you are rather different from usual tonight, aren't you? I'm sure that you know what I mean. No, I'm appointing Gaunt as your successor.
Gaunt?
Yes. You seem surprised.
But I'm astounded. He's not a classical man. He teaches physics.
Do you consider that housemasters should all be classics?
Well, they should if they're to be the housemaster of the schoolhouse at Clevedon.
I can think of no good reason why.
But aren't tradition, reputation good enough reasons? Schoolhouse has always been a classics house, and it's more so than ever today. At a time when physics and chemistry and biology and mechanics and metalwork and heaven knows what is eating the heart out of every school syllabus, when there is every possible kind of inducement so that boys will undergo this vocational training to provide more recruits for this mad mechanistic world we're living in, the schoolhouse here at Clevedon was never bigger, never more thriving.
I am well aware of it, and I think you'll agree that I've never stinted my praise of those efforts, North.
I haven't done it for your praise, but for my convictions. I believe that a classical training still remains the best basis for a liberal education. Here I've tried to teach boys how to live, rather than how to make a living. Against the fiercest of competition, it's been hard work. I realize now it's been a life's work. Surely you're not going to destroy that now?
I hope I'm not going to destroy anything, anything that is of value. I know your views on a classical education, and in some degree I sympathize with them. After all, I was once a classics man myself. And even now I can remember enough Latin to remind you, tempora mutantos nos et mutamus in illis.
You apparently have not remembered enough to recall the distinction between the active and passive of the verb mutare.
Mr. North, I don't propose to subject myself to correction by an assistant master. I have other things on my mind.
Yes, I suppose I have now. Poor Frottingham. After all those years of hard work.
And Gaunt, he's not even a good schoolmaster. Why, your recent criticism about setting Latin against general science was his idea. I knew it wouldn't work.
So did Gaunt. I discussed all this with him. He rightly pointed out to me that a wholesale change was not to be expected whilst you were housemaster. And the time allotted to general science at this stage could be no more, well, it could be no more than a gesture. He requires another 4 periods a week to cover the syllabus adequately and really make the scheme work.
Another 4 periods? Well, he certainly won't find them in the schoolhouse timetable.
Frankly, North, they are already found.
How? Where?
Well, I didn't intend discussing this with you since it concerns the future, but I have decided that it is too much to expect boys to learn both Latin and Greek, even on the classical side, especially when there is so much pressure from other quarters. So after this year, we shall drop Greek.
Drop Greek?
I have discussed it with Gaunt, and
you have discussed this with Gaunt?
With Gaunt, and behind my back, whilst I'm still housemaster here? And you've decided, you, that no more Greek shall be taught in schoolhouse?
Brackley, you are going too far.
On the contrary, North, it is you who are doing that. I am the headmaster here. You seem to have forgotten that. It is a position I've held for 25 years. I think I can claim some little experience in these matters.
I'm not forgetting the 25 years.
Well, now, let us get on to the next matter I wanted to discuss. And again, I'm sorry to say it's one which will not be very welcome to you. It concerns your pension.
My pension? And what about that?
You were absent from school throughout 1 year just before the war. You remember?
Yes, a nervous breakdown.
That's right. Well, it seems that during that year you didn't pay into the pensions fund.
I haven't done that in any year.
No, normally the school does that for you.
Then why?
This wasn't normal, was it?
You remember the doctor said my breakdown was caused by overwork?
It was that fact which prompted me to suggest to the governors that they dealt with you generously. But I had no authority to pay your pension fund.
I dare say you could have got that authority, had you asked.
Possibly. The governors are usually influenced by me.
Yes, I know that.
In the circumstances, the payment of your pensions fund was your private business.
I have no private business. It has always been merged with that of the school.
Oh, yes. Yes, I know that you've always identified your own interests with the school. It has been very valuable, of course.
Then why did you discriminate between them? On the one occasion, it was to my disadvantage.
North, I refuse to be reproached by you for not looking after your private interests. I have enough to do to look after my own.
Well, no one will ever reproach you for neglecting them.
You are presuming on my toleration, North. You may press me too far. No, I can't understand you tonight.
Tonight is... A special occasion, Headmaster. You've been doing this sort of thing for a long time. But for once, it doesn't matter. My pension.
I'm glad you're taking it so well. I thought you'd be very disappointed.
Instead, you're the one to be disappointed, because I'm taking it so well. You know, I'm beginning to find some compensation in all this.
I don't understand you, but I do know that in your own interests, I had better not subject myself much more to your provocations. I regard this interview ended, and I will wish you good night.
But you're wrong, Headmaster. It's not ended. Do sit down. There are one or two things I want to say to you.
And you'll have to wait. Say them another time. I'm conducting...
No, I can't wait much longer.
Your attitude is something of a challenge, North.
It could be more than that.
Very well. Say what you have to say.
Headmaster. Oh, incidentally, do you mind if I drop the headmaster business and refer to you as Brackley? After all, what I have to say covers a period even longer than your headship. Brackley, tonight I'm allowing myself the luxury of saying what I think instead of hiding it.
Luxury is the correct word. You may have to pay dearly for it. The account will have to be settled. Now that you've only 3 weeks to run, don't think that you can snap your fingers at me.
But I can. Though believe me, I'm not content to snap my fingers at you, Brackley. It's a much bigger account than that. It goes back such a long way. Strange, isn't it, that all our lives we've hated the sight of one another.
Frankly, I've always despised you.
You'd be surprised if you knew what good reason you have to fear me now.
Well, I don't.
No, but you will before I'm finished. We were 20 when we first met. Our rooms were on the same staircase in Trinity, remember? From the first moment, I hated you. It was quite an unreasonable hatred to begin with. Simply a matter of your swaggering walk, your hoarse laugh so spuriously hearty, and your pudgy fingers. But in the years which followed, you gave me plenty of good reason.
Well, since we are exchanging these very belated confidences, I can assure you that the aversion was quite mutual. You had a quiff, quoted Swinburne, and sniggered.
I had also a better brain, and I took a better degree than you. What I had not got was your ability to play the role of muscular Christian, and your ability to pray in public but to whisper in private. I hadn't your lack of conscience or of imagination.
Neither had you my guts.
So you think I haven't any guts?
Really, North? Well, now, have you finished? Or perhaps you're thinking of sacking me?
I can't sack
you. No, you can't sack me. But hasn't an alternative occurred to you?
Yes, I'm considering an alternative.
Good, it's a pity you didn't think of it before.
Oh, but I have, many a time. Though it was never so easy then as it is now. I sometimes dreamt about it in the days when we were assistant masters in the same prep school. Do you remember our first teaching job at Mayfield, Brackley?
I remember regretting that I've ever gone there, once I knew that you were joining the same term.
It was poor Mary who had cause to regret it most.
Mary? You are not referring to... You haven't the temerity to bring my wife into this now, surely.
Brackley, so far as I'm concerned, Mary has always been in everything. Mary was everything, is now. Although she's dead, I don't wonder she died.
North, do you sit there and coolly tell me... Were you and my wife lovers?
Yes, I think we were in the end.
What?
Oh, sit down, Brackley. Love has such a different meaning for me than for you. I loved her from the moment you and I were having tea with our new employer. And Mary walked in and Mayfield said, "Oh, this is my daughter." I never told her. It wasn't necessary. A year later, I got an appointment here. So I left Mayfield.
You mean you ratted? You saw Mayfield was going down and you wanted to be clear before...
That was merely the lie you told Mary. You tried for the job too, Brackley, but you failed.
I tried... Well, look, when you have finished talking this fantastic nonsense...
I saw the correspondence... Of course it's destroyed now. You saw to that when you arrived here. It would have made the new headmaster look too absurd if it were proved that 4 years earlier he couldn't even get a job as assistant. But what honest merit failed to do was more than achieved by self-publicizing, by bouncing and bluffing.
If you imagine I'm going to listen to such a farrago of insulting...
Sit down.
I'm going. And when you...
I said sit down.
North, what? Oh, you fool. Put that gun down.
I don't think it's called a gun at all. It's a revolver, really. Not that I know much about this sort of thing. Nothing beyond the fact that if I bend my forefinger now, it... Yes, I thought you'd change your mind and sit down. And so you came to Clevedon. For years, you have subjected me to every kind of veiled indignity and insult and frustration in your power, here in this isolated little community.
All right, North, since we've both dropped any kind of pretense now. I don't mind admitting that I wanted you away from here. What you've put up with from me is the measure of what a rabbit-hearted little non-entity you've always been. The more you swallowed, the more I despised you. And I never despised you more than now for all the gun you're pointing at me. I sat down not because I'm afraid, but because I'm interested to know what the end of this is going to be.
Oh, you'll know the end soon enough now. But you're going to be late for chapel. About 3 days late, I should say. Brackley, I didn't stay here merely to spite you. I stayed for a far more important reason, and that was Mary. What hell her life must have been with you. I have more things to nerve my finger than you bargained for, Brackley. I did my best to make things bearable for her, and she did for me. We didn't often speak, but sometimes for a moment our eyes would meet. And even you became bearable again after that.
No. Sit down! I will not sit down, you insulting, presumptuous little. Now put that gun down and stand out of my way. I don't want to be compelled to assault you. Do you think you can frighten me? Put that gun down. Put it...
Do you still think I haven't the guts, Brackley?
Look, I'm sure you haven't considered what the consequences might be. Murder, North, you know. Murder. You couldn't get away with it, you know. They'd hang you. The law.
The law? I'm outside the law. Listen, I've got 6 months to live. When one knows that one's life is soon to be terminated, it rather alters one's viewpoint, one's sense of values. Don't you find that? After all, you've only got one more minute.
Listen, North, listen, I think this talk has done good, you know. It's cleared the air. Let's get together. Between us,
Don't weaken at the last minute. I shan't. The tale's nearly ended now. When Mary died, I turned to my work here, and I worked harder than ever before. No wonder I had a breakdown. I built up something here on the classical side which most schools envy. It's been a crusade with me. Now you tell me you're going to destroy it.
No, I...
Yes, destroy it. Just as surely as I shall destroy you, as you destroyed Mary.
But listen, North, old man, please, listen.
You took my love, Brackley. You would destroy my work. You darkened my life in the past, and you would do it for the future.
No.
It's been a long term, Brackley, but it's ended now.
No, don't shoot, North, please, don't. Listen,
young Jennings said he'd taken this revolver out of the armory because it was just right for shooting rats.
Listen,
how right he was, Brackley. A rat, cornered and squealing at last.
No, don't shoot, North, I tell you, don't. If only you'll listen.
Time's up, Brackley. Close your eyes.
No, don't.
Brackley. No, I didn't think it was as easy as that. Oh, someone must have heard. They'll be here. Oh, be quiet. Perhaps I'd better answer it. It might be the police. Oh, no, it can't be. Master. Hello.
Hello. Is that you, North?
Yes.
Thank heavens I've got you. Listen, there's been a terrible mistake, but one that I was never more delighted to admit. They've just phoned me from the pathological laboratory in a dickens of a sweat. You're all right.
Hello? What's that you say?
You're all right. There was some confusion between your excision and another. You've nothing in the world to worry about. You're absolutely all right. I'm terribly sorry for my part in it, Norther. I hope you won't talk about it. And I'm terribly glad to. The main thing is you're absolutely all right. You've nothing to worry about. I'll pop round tomorrow morning and...
I'm absolutely all right.
I have nothing to worry about. He says I have nothing to worry about. Muir, you fool. Why didn't you ring me a minute earlier? Only a minute. Oh, stop grinning at me, Brackley. 3 months. It mustn't be 3 minutes now. I must go now, before I can think too much. Yes, there's another round in the chamber. The muzzle is cold against my temple. Don't think. A lovely evening. I like this view. Go on. Why are you waiting? Oh, poor stroke, Hopkins. That nearly got your wicket. Still, the light's fading. Light's fading.
That was End of Term by William Barrow, with Russell Napier as North and Brewster Mason as the head. Production for BBC Playhouse was by Cedric Messina.